This morning I'm reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening of that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sin of any, are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was also called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The reading of the Gospel. There's a lot in this text this morning. So I got to ask, how many of you felt the earthquake on Friday? Okay. Didn't happen in California.
No, but it snowed in the desert that day, so it was a very weird day.
Crazy day. It was nuts. I'm on the phone with my daughter, Caitlin. She lives out in Ewing, and I'm like, "What is that?" And she's like, "I don't know. We feel it here, too." My grandson's like, "Whoa." He's 3. I expect nothing else. However, David and Kyle, my husband and my son, were working down here at Cherry Valley. Felt nothing. Does that mean it didn't happen? I feel the same way with this scripture. Thomas wasn't in the house with the disciples. Didn't see him, wasn't there, boom, nope, move on. Well, I can't recreate the earthquake for David, although Kyle did feel the aftershock at 6 o'clock that night. David's going to have to take my word for it. But Jesus was able to recreate the scenario for Thomas. So let's see if we can believe without seeing. Our text this morning picks up after a lot of activity. It was the first day of the week, which was a Sunday. The tomb was open. The body was gone. Mary ran to the disciples and said, "I have seen the Lord." But out of fear, the disciples locked themselves away. I wonder if their fear was even greater because of the events that happened. Will they be accused of stealing the body? The guards were posted. A large stone was put into place, all in order to stop a theft from happening. What will the Romans do to them? What will the Jewish leaders do? Their world has been turned upside down and they are afraid. Fear is huge. Sometimes we do things out of fear or we freeze in our fear. The text says they were locked away for fear of the Jews. I'm sure most of you have read or heard that there are 365 times the phrase "do not be afraid" is in the Bible. That is a daily reminder from God to live every day without fear. I think it's also a reminder that God knows that we're going to be fearful. So this is where Jesus meets his disciples, in their fear, locked away. Jesus doesn't tell them to not be afraid. He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." The greeting, "Peace be with you," was a very common way of greeting another person, shalom. It's personal, it's social, and it's justice-seeking. Peace, or shalom, is God's gift to the people under the divine covenant. Then he breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. I had to do a little research on this, a little exploring, because we all know, as Christians, that Pentecost is the big Holy Spirit day. So what was up that they got this right now? Why did Jesus breathe his spirit on the disciples now? One theory is that it is a promise. Jesus breathed on them as a pledge of what was to come. Another theory is that it was temporary, to empower them until Pentecost. That's what I think. Jesus found them cowering in a corner. He knew they were going to need a little strength to get through the next 40 days. And he sent them out. "Leave this house. Forgive those who did this. Do not hold a grudge." So, a week has now passed. The disciples are once again in the house. The text says again, not still. And Jesus once again appears through a closed door and says, "Shalom, peace be with you." Then he addresses Thomas directly. He offers him his hands and his side so that Thomas can believe. And Thomas exclaims, "My Lord and my God." Jesus says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Amazing, right? Thomas got the proof that he asked for. And Thomas became this bridge between those who knew Jesus and were in his presence and those of us who believe because of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are we who have not seen, but we believe. So many of my patients, their family members, are in a place of not believing. They want to believe, but they need proof. They are like Thomas. I hear, "If my daughter is healed, if my husband could be the way he used to be, if only my body could." They want proof. They want to see. Jesus didn't chastise Thomas for wanting proof. He showed up and gave him what he was asking for. How blessed is that? Jesus is in heaven, sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We say it in the Apostles' Creed all the time. But before Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit to live among us. The Holy Spirit is called the Advocate, the Comforter, Guide, Counselor, Intercessor, etc., etc., etc. I love the Holy Spirit. I told a patient recently I might be Pentecostal. Except I don't have the gift of speaking in tongues. Now, this man's hysterical. He's an agnostic, but everything he does is all religiously. He crosses himself, he says things in the name of Mary, Jesus, and Joseph, and all this other crazy stuff. But he said he had a neighbor who were Pentecostal, and they asked him if he had the gift of speaking in tongues, and John said, "No, it's my new tongue, and I'm still breaking it in." That's me. Haven't broken it in yet. Jesus gave the disciples the Holy Spirit before the permanent indwelling of the Spirit for strength. Maybe we could ask for a trial period to be sure it fits your style. However, the Spirit is powerful and life-changing, so be careful. That is who I encourage my patients to reach out to pray to call for in their distress. The Spirit is the third person of the Trinity and is how God is present here on earth to give us aid and comfort. This weekend, with the death of my dear friend and our sister, Gracie, the Holy Spirit is crying with us and is also present to give us peace. Shalom. Does anybody want to share anything?